And now, The Phil Hendry Show on Podcast One, PhilHendryShow.com, SoundCloud, all that. Yeah. Hello, this is Jim Kerbapple. You've heard of the road apple. Well, I'm Jim Kerbapple. And while the road apple is of a negative connotation, meaning basically we're talking about a horse dropping, that's what a road apple is, a Kerbapple is one who watches the, what's that, Tad? Tad says that that's a bad, I shouldn't call myself that. And what I think a Kerbapple is, well, let me just continue the thought here, if I may continue my thought. Wow, there's something underneath my desk and it's moving. Oh, that's my cat. All right. A Kerbapple, ouch. I just hit my hand on my glasses on purpose, and that's something we can discuss as well. A Kerbapple is one who watches the action from the curb. In other words, I am not one who on one, there's six different things on one television set. What is that? Oh, that's a sports mix from DirecTV. Thank you. There are six Kerbapples. Wait a minute. Here's why I call myself a Kerbapple. A Kerbapple, so I told you what a road apple is, right? And I said it's a negative connotation. A road apple is a horse dropping, is what they used to call a horse dropping. I suppose it could be a dog dropping. I suppose in some cultures, God, pray God it isn't ours, you know. Pray God, it isn't ours. It could be a human dropping. But I suppose we're getting into a completely different discussion. The reason why I brought up that I am a Kerbapple, and I, by the way, I forgot what my name is because I stand and watch the parade of life, and no one notices me. I might as well be, and now that I think it through, I guess I'm calling myself, I might as well be a round ball of horse dung, or as the kids today nowadays would say, horse shit. And I know it's considered to be a vulgar term, but I'm distracted by this blonde here on ESPN. Is she in a commercial, or is she talking to me? By the way, how many of you watch soccer? Speaking of road apple, now where was I? As I continue through life. That's Robin Williams over there. I'm sorry, I'm getting distracted. I'm here to talk to you about watching the parade of life in American politics these days. It's quite interesting. It's quite fascinating because on the one hand, you have one side claiming their right, and on the other hand, you have the other. I guess that's the way it's always been, though, isn't it? So that's not very, that's not the unique observation that I wanted to make. The unique observation I wanted to make is this. On the one hound, I've just created something new. Instead of the one hand, the one hound. For you dog lovers out there, this might be a step forward, right? Or maybe it's a step backward for the rest of us. And I say us, I include myself in that, for the rest of us with good mental hygiene. But let's proceed. On the one hound, or on the one hand, we have people on the right. On the other hound, or other hand, or other cat, all right, for you cat lovers, I suppose now I'm getting far afield. On the one hand, we have one political persuasion. I don't know why I stuttered on that. I guess politics always makes us nervous, doesn't it? Makes me nervous. This is why I'm having a very difficult time articulating how we're going to go from me being a Kerbapple to the essential point of what I'm trying to say, and that is to introduce the show today. This is taking a long time because this is simply the build-up or the lead-in or the ramp into or the slide down into the beginning of today's show. And that will come as soon as I'm done making this point. So on the one hound or hand or cat, you have the right. On the other hound, hand or cat, you have the left. Now, what are these two sides representing? Well, both sides of the American mind. You see, I just created that out of nothing right now because I'm stalling as I try to find my notes here from yesterday. They were in the car, in the back seat of the car. Look at the briefcase in the back seat of the car. I'm just sending one of my aides, one of my assistants, staff members here on our show is going to go and look for that. I want to tell you what my name is, but I might be wrong. That's why I'm hesitating saying that this is the Will Billingsley Extravaganza. Is that the name of it? Did I get it right? Good. The Will Billingsley Extravagant. No, you're just nodding and I'm being humored now by my staff. Okay, what is my name? Well, it's in the car. It's in the briefcase. So I'm sending staff to the car to get the briefcase where my name is. On the one hound, I guess I'm overdoing the hound thing, aren't I? It doesn't make sense. I thought maybe I could turn that into a thing. It's not going to be a thing, unless you consider it to be the kind of thing that attacked the North Pole in that movie. That's the thing I'm hoping it isn't. You know, I don't think whenever we say, is that a thing? You say, well, is that a thing in terms of the thing that attacked the North Pole in the movie, or a thing being something that's fun that people want to do? Please define that. Please define that. And then you are able to move forward. And that's what we want to do with this show, more than anything else. I'd like to say we'd like to move forward with our lives. We'd like to move forward with our lives, but we can't. And that's not my fault. That's all of our faults. We all share in this stalled vehicle called America, which right now seems to be stalled and on the side of the road with a tire leaning against it, and the population of America sitting there eating its bucket of chicken and waiting for some magic man to come along and change the flat because we're busy with our corn dogs or whatever else we're fooling with. I'd like to think that I'm not one of them. I'd like to think that I'm the one saying, well, come on, everyone, let's get up and change the flat ourselves. I'd like to think that I'm that guy and that the rest of you, not you personally, but the rest of you, meaning in general, the American people are sitting, picking through your beans and rice and asking who wants the cornbread. You know, that's how I view you, not you, but you in general. That's how I view you, looking over you and onto the other yous, okay? So, because you and I are having a relationship. I think you understand what I'm talking about. And when I say relationship, you know that we're having an intellectual and I think convivial intellectual discussion. This is the Will Billingsley Extravaganza. Until I get... Have you found the name of the show yet? Okay. If it's not in my brief, excuse me for one moment. If it's not in the briefcase in the back of the car, look in the trunk. Oh, you need the keys. There's the keys right there. Now, you know you don't, those are, it's a keyless. The car's key, I have to tell my staff the car is keyless, and I don't know. If those of you know what a keyless car is, it's a car that, well, you don't open with a key. You just stand there and open the door, and it opens because you don't need the key. What you do need, though, is to have the key on you. Now, I'm looking here at six pictures. Again, that's the DirecTV Sports Mix. Okay, thank you very much. Because I saw Lamar Hunt, and now I see Willie Lanier. Both of them very prime people in the Kansas City Chief. C-H-E-I-F-E, or is it C-H-I-E-F-E? I never know. I never know where you put the I or the E. I before E, except after C. That's it. The Kansas City Chiefs. And they were a prominent team in the panoply of American sport at one time. Now they are nothing more than one of many really faceless entities in this larger machine called the National Football League. That's why I watch English soccer. But let's get back to why I'm a curb apple. The title of the program today, the reason why you tuned in, all of the promotion that we did, everything that we are hoping to do today will be springing forward from why is Will Billingsley, if that indeed is my name, if you saw a different name that was announced in the newspaper today or wherever you get your information, and I know a lot of you don't read newspapers, many of you go online, okay, or perhaps you visit my website and you see what my name is, I would suggest, or I would hope that one of you tweet me and tell me what my name is. Although I don't know what account to go to. How do I know which account if I don't know my name? All right, thank you very much. I'm being told to just continue with the show. Are you finding it? It's keyless. One of them was walking. I just stopped one of my staff members from walking out with a crowbar. What did you think you were going to do with that? He was going to try to pry the door open. It's keyless. It's keyless, you mindless thing. You are a mindless thing, Reggie. Is that your name? I don't know. What are you looking at me for? You don't need the crowbar, just the key. Stand there and open the door. It will open. Yes, it's magic. Yes, okay. All right, so while we look for my briefcase, which I believe is in the back seat of my car, Where did I park my park? I'm assuming I parked my car here, and I didn't park it seven blocks away. I did that one time. Speaking of being a curb apple, because that's what I did. I stood and waited for Uber, to pick me up and take me to where it was I was going. I think it was here, and it was the, I was doing my show, if you call this a show right now. This is a preamble leading up to Will Billingsley Curb Apple, and or whatever my name is, and we're still looking for that now in the sector of my briefcase, which is sounds vulgar. I apologize. Please forgive me. In the sector of my briefcase sounds like it sounds vulgar. I don't know why, but I know it's got to be in violation of some decency standard. So can we underline that when we go back to edit the tape? Even though this is going out live, we do have a tape of it, and there won't be any point in editing it because you just heard what I said. Maybe we can edit it anyway, whatever your name is. Yes, let's edit it anyway so that when people go back, oh, let's listen to that show, and they won't hear it, and they'll think it was their imagination. What about people that are taping at home? I doubt that. I don't think they're going to. I think anyone taping this has already got some problems. All right. As a curb apple, I stand astride. No, that's the wrong term. If I stood astride, I'd be my one leg would be on one side and the other leg would be. I'd be standing across. I'd be looking down at a miniature world rolling by me on a street. I would be like a giant. And that's not. I stand askance. I stand to the side is what I was looking for. Of the parade of the panoply of the panopanopally of the human condition, and I see these floats, because that's what life, and that's what life in America is, a series of floats with people waving to you, hi, and they go by, and here comes a marching band, and the floats are celebrities, the floats are those instances that take our mind off of the troubles that we are having, and we look and we see a man or a woman or children waving to us, and they're adorned in garlands, and they are in a spooky house or in a jungle setting, and they're saying, this is how it is. Come here, be with us up here with this haunted house or this jungle or these cars or these football players. And we'll say, all right, thank you, I'll take that under advisement. And we see the next float go by. Now, the floats go by, but in between the floats, what have you got? Ah, yes, you have the marching band. The marching band is the dull, monotonous rolling on of life. It is the continual, unabating, unending, nerve-wracking, nerve-damaging, dare I say, nerve-damaging, endless roll of life, stream of life's nuisances. Occasionally there is a good, clean note hit, but what do marching bands represent to us? Dissonance. Dissonance. Because when you put all of those people together on a football field or going down a street, in this case, there the horns don't sound right. There's somebody with a bazooka or not a bazooka. What's the name of the instrument? It's a bazooka, isn't it? The instrument that plays the very low notes, not a tuba. I understand what a tuba is. I played tuba. If you didn't know that, you do now. I think I played tuba. Where is my briefcase so I know what my name is? Because I have my resume in there, and it'll say whether I played tuba or not. It's where? It's not in the car. Oh, it's not in the back seat. Did you check the trunk? The same thing holds. Stand there and open the thing. It'll open up. Open up, I should say, not the thing. Again, because am I talking about the thing that attacked the North Pole? That's also something on the back of my car. That's very strange. No, it's the hood, the hatch, the boot. The boot, thank you. Open the boot. You don't have to have a key for that either. Right, go back out and look in the boot. Because it'll have my resume. Now he's gone. It'll have my name in my briefcase will be in there with my name in it and also my resume as to what I've done with my life. And I'm pretty sure prominent. I put tuba up. I did. I'm very proud of that. There's another instrument in the marching band, though, that can be dissonant. The tuba, believe me, I was an excellent tuba player. My dream was to play for Leon Redbone. Now you know. Now you know. That's right. Dare I say it? Dare I go ahead and go out on a limb and say, Leon Redbone? That was my dream, to back up the great Leon Redbone. But I think I sent an audition tape to him, and he was out of town. He was back in Sweden attending an opera or something. And I don't know really know what happened to my audition tape. If anyone with the Leon Redbone estate is listening, my name is, well, I'll have my name in a moment. If you just keep listening, or perhaps call us when I get the phone number and ask for me, or just say, okay, we'll check, and then hang the phone up and go check. If you can find the tape that I sent, my audition tape, I'll be the guy playing the tuba. Of course, that's a ridiculous statement, because how many tuba auditions do you get? Quite a few, I'm sure. Moving back to our commentary, Will Billingsley, if that's my name, I don't know. What did it say on the website? We don't know what the website is, because we don't know what my name is, but there's a website out there with my actual name on it, whoever I am, and it has my name and then Curb Apple, you know. And we're talking about, again, the Parade of Life. So the floats are what distract us, but here comes the marching band with the dissonance. Among the dissonant instruments is the bazooka. And it's not a bazooka. It sounds like it is a bazooka. The bazooka is, I know the bazooka as a weapon that can be used to destroy in warfare tanks, but you can use it as in some way, shape, or form. I sat right next to a young lady that I fell in love with when I was in college. It was either college or high school. Forgive me. You'd think I'd know the difference, but I know we had uniforms on, and the school was fairly large. I think it might have been a college. And I sat next to a young lady who I fell in love with, and I pledged my life to hers on a very, very beautiful spring day some 20 years ago. And she got up and left, but I gave it my best. But she was playing a bazooka, so no one, and I sat next to her throughout the entire season. I think it was a football season. And because I remember putting on this uniform and going, you know, marching up and down with my knees high. And then I turn around and march up and down with my knees high. And a man would come out and he would dance with his big furry hat. That was a marching band. I was a part of one. And I'd like to say, among the many, many instruments, mine was played with sweetness and with clarity. The young lady to whom I pledged my eternal love, who I just met that day, and then I didn't see her again. And that sounds weird, doesn't it? But at least it tells you that I was capable of pledging my eternal love to someone, because it never happened again after that. Just that one day I saw her and I pledged my eternal love and I said, I will make you the happiest woman in my life. She excused herself to go to the ladies' room, but she left her bazooka behind. And I began to analyze it and look at it. I'd pretty much forgotten about her. Not that I wasn't, please don't, I don't love them and leave them, although I didn't even shake her hand, so. But I was very enamored of her for about 30 to 35 seconds until I saw the bazooka that she was playing, or the bazooms. That's what you call a woman's breasts. That's a crude, filthy term, whoever you are. I'm talking to my aides right now, my staff. I don't like the word aides. I just don't like it. Did you find, where's my car? It was the wrong car? Well, why was it opening up? All right. And you have my briefcase. Great. Is my name anywhere in it? All right. They're looking for my name right now. Also remember my resume. Thank you. They finally, was it in the boot? It was in the trunk. That was what I was looking for. And I said the thing, and I'm thinking the thing from the North Pole that attacked all those scientists is actually laying over the back of my car, and you have to lift up the thing to get, wouldn't that be a crazy state of affairs, huh? Think of the deaths. Think of the numbers of people that would be ghouled alive trying to just get into the trunk to find my briefcase, and instead they're rended from head to toe. And so we all remember what happened to those German shepherds in the 1950s version of the thing, and then what happened to the humans in the 1986 or 5. It was either, who did it? John Kennedy? John Kennedy did the thing in 1982, 86. John Carpenter, that was it. John Carpenter, he was the astronaut. Who was the astronaut? You know, it's funny, the names that are the same. There was a Carpenter, there was Guy Carpenter, or Chris Ted Carpenter was an astronaut. All right. enough said about that. So when you are playing in the marching band of life, as I was, and you play a cool, clean, sweet tuba, and everyone else is off base, is off kilter, the sounds coming from the thing want to make you retch blood, this is when you have to look at yourself and say, let's take a break. We'll be right back here on the, I can't remember my name. I can't not. We'll be right back. This is the Phil Hendry Show podcast, or netcast, or showcast, on the Phil Hendry Show network, show, website, and podcast thing. Hi, it's Phil Hendry for the Phil Hendry Show website, philhendryshow.com. That's the internet, that's the World Wide Web home of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show since 1990, creating sort of an alternative radio netcast digital reality from all of the other stuff. And if you'd like to subscribe to our website, because we have archives of material that goes back many, many years, over 20 years, 35,000 plus hours of stuff, including our new podcast, which we have started producing in 2013. Well, then you should do that, because it's like a deal, man. You can subscribe for a month. You can subscribe for a year. If you subscribe for a year, it comes in at less than $7 a month. It's well worth it, because there's more material on our website than any other radio-oriented or digital-oriented website in the world right now. I feel very confident in saying that. Nobody comes close to what we do in terms of quality either. And also, the value is fantastic. Other than porn, you can get a better value probably with porn online. But all of that having been said, all things being equal, subscribe to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show website today, if not sooner, at philhendryshow.com. Just go to the place that says sign up. Welcome back to the Phil Hendry Show netcast showcast podcast on the Podcast One Network and his own website too, philhendryshow.com. All right, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. We're still looking for my name. I said my name at the beginning, and then I was told it was Will Billingsley. Just from the furthest recesses of my mind was I able to come up with Will Billingsley. And I thought, well, okay, that we'll go with that. So let's just call it the Will Billingsley Extravaganza, because I think that's what my name, well, it's not my name? All right. They're still looking for my name in my briefcase. Getting back to playing the bazooka, or the bazooms, what I'm trying to do is think of the instrument that was played by the young lady who I fell in love with that afternoon while we were practicing for the football game, the halftime show at the football game that was coming out. I got to remember to breathe. Whew, didn't take a breath there. For the football game that was coming up at the in the middle of the halftime show. It's not a football game, the halftime show in the middle of the football game. And this young woman who I pledged my eternal love to, and I said that I will make you the happiest woman on the face of the earth. And she looked at me and said, would you excuse me? And she left ostensibly, okay, isn't that a lovely word? Ostensibly to go to the, quote, ladies can, end quote. That's what she said. She said, essentially, I need to hit the can. Would you excuse me? And I said, certainly. She left, and then I saw the bazooms. That's not the word. It's an instrument that it starts with a B, it ends with an S, or it ends with an M. Bazoom. But that's the crude term for a woman's breasts. I'm looking for the instrument bazoon. What's a bazoon? I never heard of that. That's something that's completely off my radar, a bazoon. Oh, a bassoon. That's a dog. Yes. One of my assistants said, well, isn't it a bassoon? I said, no, that's a dog. No, we're looking for the name of the instrument that was played by the young lady who sat next to me during our choir practice. Not choir practice. What do you call it when a bunch of people have instruments and they march up and down a street together? Oh, Lord. Anyway, in the group of people that we marched up and down a street with, this young lady played something called, it sounds like the dog, bassoon, only it's a bass something. I played the tuba. It's the tuba, but the tuba is how my uncle used to say it. But my uncle had been, I have to tell you, my uncle had been in a plane crash and had been thrown through the windshield of a Cessna and came out alive in one piece, absolutely nothing wrong with him, but he could not pronounce words, certain words. And so the tuba is what it had been. It was a joke in our family. So here comes Uncle Harry. or for whatever his name was. I'm bad with names because I was sitting shotgun to him in that Cessna that day. I guess I didn't tell you about that. When he was landing this aircraft, he pulled up short, and that's when you say, when you pull up short, basically what you're doing is you're hitting the brakes so that you don't crash through a house or something, right? Well, in this instance, it was a tree, and he decided, he'd said, you know what, I think I better hit the brakes, and we both went through the windshield of the Cessna, landing in something, I think, I believe it was a strawberry patch, because I remember reaching down and eating one of the strawberries and saying, hey, you know, things could be worse. we just were thrown through the windshield of a Cessna, but things, so I looked at, both of us were fine. No scars, no broken bones, no, almost as if a miracle had occurred. And in our cases, yes, a miracle had occurred, except for the fact that my uncle, whatever his name is, could not pronounce certain words properly. So it became the tuba, became the tuba, and, oh, I don't know, different things like that. And I fortunately came out perfectly. I blacked out a lot of what happened. For instance, I don't know why I was in the aircraft. I don't know what my name is. I have to be reminded constantly, and I have staff still looking for my name. What are you doing now? You found the fact, did you find my resume? All right. And but they're looking in my briefcase, not only for my name, if it's anywhere in the briefcase, but my resume will verify that I played the tuba, as my uncle used to call it, or the tuba. And what the name of that baz, whatever the thing's called, the instrument that we think, it sounds like the dog, the bassoon. You know the dog, the bassoon? Or is that a basset? Angela Bassett is a woman. Yes, and a very fine, Angela Bassett is a fine woman, but I don't know what, why do I know that name? Is she an actress? She's an actress. Okay. So that's not Bassett. Is the instrument I was looking for. That's it. So I'm sorry to Ms. Angela Bassett and to all the bassoon dogs in the world. I'm talking about the Bassett instrument that you play. And the young lady who I met sat next to me playing the Bassett. And as I told her that I loved her and needed her and couldn't live without her, she said, excuse me for just one moment. She was very impressed with what I was saying, by the way. I don't want you to get the idea that she was running away from me. Not at all. She was nodding, and she looked touched, and I said, I love you, and I will make you the happiest woman on the face of this earth. I'll never forget that as long as I live. And I, you know what, now I'm thinking she probably has, though. And that's interesting, isn't it? Doesn't hurt at all. I said something very profound, and she just got up and said, excuse me, I need to hit the toilet or the can. She used some term. She didn't say the ladies' room. She said, I really need to run and hit the can. And I said, you know, more power to you. I gave her kind of a thumbs up. And as she ran off, then I picked up her Bassett and started to play it. And I realized that I was loogieing and lip-locking all over the thing, the very mouthpiece that she was using, right? So I pulled out of my bag. I always keep the handy wipes. I always keep baby wipes. Although I don't like the term baby wipe because, what, you know, I've never liked that. Because a baby, if you're wiping yourself off, you're, what are you, a baby? Oh, great. Why don't I just change my own diaper while I'm at it? These are funny things, though. When we come into the world, and the person who I guess is the female, that's what you call, is the aunt, tells you how to do things. That's teaching you. That's it. So that's how we were teached. Or taught, I should say, by the lady. That's the mother. Yes. That's how we're taught by our mother. We don't loogie. Oh, I know what I was going to say. I don't like to wipe myself down with a baby wipe because then I think I need to change my own diaper and I need to burp me. And you get locked into this, don't you? This is what life does. It locks you into these roles. It locks us into these personas. Why do I have to be a baby that I burp? I'm burping myself, changing my own diaper, and putting myself to bed. And you don't have time for others. You become consumed with this. You become consumed. Oh, why? Because you happen to pick up the wrong kind of wipe at the store. That's what happens. And this is why, for so many of us, and it just doesn't begin with me and end with me, for so many of us, if we... For instance, I'm going to go to the store today, and I'm going to buy bananas. What do you think will happen to me when I get home? I'll look at that banana, and I'll start dancing around the place where we make the food, the kitchen, and I'll do that Carmen Miranda thing. Do you remember Carmen Miranda? She had a hat, and it had fruit all over it. And she would dance, I think, and she was in the 50s, and she played football. I'm trying to remember where I used to see her, but Carmen Miranda was very, very popular. Well, I'm going to go out and buy myself a big floppy hat that I'm going to go gardening in and put bananas on top of that. Now, what does that mean? It means nothing. So I avoid the banana. I avoid baby wipes. This is a very, very simple 1, 2, 3 in life. And if we could all get this, we'd be so much happier. So much happier. So getting back to the name of today's talk, I am the Curb Apple. Will Billingsley Extravaganza presents I Am the Curb Apple. I'm talking about the passing parade of life. So on the floats, on each float, are individuals that wave to us and we wave to them. Those are the personalities, those are the high points, those are the festivals, those are the festivities, those are the holidays, those are the things that distract us away from ourselves. Those are the baby wipes. Those are the bananas. Then comes the marching band. Ah, that's what we recognize as a part of our normal routine, day to day. There we are, playing our tuba, playing our basset, playing our bazoom. I don't know the name of this. I can't believe I spent years in a marching band. From the age of 14 all the way to 37, I was in a marching band. First I was in high school, then I was in my college marching band at the University of, it was over here in Los Angeles. Then I started a marching band of adults. At that time, I was working at a mail center, but when we got off work, we'd march around. I got uniforms. Somebody I know, I think it was, she was a female, I know that. I think it was my wife. Well, it had to be my wife, because I lived with her. She made the uniforms, and we would march around in the street, and that was not working out because police generally would ticket us or give us or arrest us. I got arrested on 3 occasions for illegal assembly, and there wasn't anything bad. It wasn't like an anti-war, you know, anti-president thing. I don't do that. God forbid, we all should be law-abiding citizens and not go out there and be ugly and hateful and throw things. But I did get out into the streets with friends marching around with our tubas, you know, and our clarinets and the things that we had. Once we were arrested for that and told we needed to get a right to assemble permit, well, that's what we did. And then on weekends, we would march around in parks, and most people enjoyed it. I would say, 1, 2, 3, dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. I wish I had the music right now, dun-dun-dun-dun, and I would lead the people. They would be marching toward me, and I'm walking backwards, wearing the big, tall, furry hat, which I forget the name of that, what it's called, but I would, and, you know, if you get, don't try this at home. Don't try this at home, whatever you do. Because if you're marching backwards, you run into a tree or a car, or in my case, I was hit by a UPS van as I was backing out of the park. Dun, 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 and children were following and laughing and dancing. And a couple of them were throwing things and pointing and laughing. And their dogs were, one kid's dog was, couldn't resist sniffing my leg. And I'm thinking, this is very undignified because I'm marching along with my drum major. That's what it's called, with my drum major stick, whatever that's called, marching, and I'm going backwards. The band is marching toward me, and I backed out into a main boulevard. I'm trying to think of the city that I was in. Oh, it was here in the city of Los Angeles. Well, this is in the general area of Los Angeles. I backed out into a boulevard, and right then a UPS van driven by the nicest guy hit me and threw me across the, now please don't be worried, I was fine, but threw me directly across the intersection. But as I got up on my elbows and looked, there was the band still, dun, 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 marching down the street. So that didn't work out, obviously. But I got to say, we never gave up. We were always marching around with our instruments, a marching band. They'd say, well, what school? I said, no, we're all graduated from high school and from college. And I would say, isn't it a shame, that there is no, what am I supposed to do? Just do a marching band? What do we represent? Who are we? Why are we marching? Why are we in this band and marching around? And I would ask, I would be talking to myself, and I'd have a crowd of 30 people staring at me as I was talking to myself this way. And I realized it was then I realized I could compel people with my life experiences, telling them how to do things better than the way they're doing them. And so when I say that I'm a curb apple, what I'm saying is I might be a round ball of, again, as the kids say, I might be a round ball of shit, but at least I'm not in the road. I'm not a road apple. I'm on the curb, and I'm very respectfully sitting there, a lump of shit in the gutter, not, and I know it sounds very self-deprecating, you know, it sounds very self-deprecating, which sounds like defecating, doesn't it? See? See? You see where we're going? When you self-deprecate, you are self-defecating. So you're essentially a ball of dung dropping more dung on yourself. Now, you don't want to do that. You just want to be the... So as a curb apple, and I watch, and then I recognize myself. I'm the guy going backwards with the drum major, with the drum... Oh boy, with the drumstick, not the drumstick, that's something that you use to beat drums with, yeah. You said something you eat with, see? You see the difference between us? I immediately thought of something that you would pound on a drum, but you thought food. And this is why you're having the problem that you're having, using drugs, drinking too much. Notice I didn't say you're overeating. Because you're compensating, you say, a drumstick, how I'd love to gnaw on a drumstick right now. Okay. All right, well, that's all the time we have for today's talk. My name is whatever it is. I never did find out. We have to get that squared away before the next show. Yeah, because it's coming up tomorrow. The next show is tomorrow. Now, I want to mention to you that... Now, I forgot what I wanted to mention to you. All right. Well, the next show is tomorrow, and we will be back with that, whatever my name is. I don't know who I am. Thank you so very much. I hope you enjoyed listening to Road Apple. Road Apple is what I would call this, like iRobot. I think I'd call that. No, it's not Road. Excuse me. Curb. Curb Apple. Or that could be your name. Curb Apple. My middle name is Curb. My father's name was Herb, and they didn't want to call me Herb because they thought it was dated. They called me Curb. The last name Apple is German. That's a very common German Scandinavian type name. And then the first name could be Ignatius or Isaac or Ichabod. Forgive me. That's the only residual of having been thrown through the windshield of a Cessna. I have a hard time with words that start with I. Isn't that curious? So if my name was Ignatius, see? You see? I have no problem showing you my flaws. As long as I keep my pants on, right? Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. I'm whatever my name is. Thank you for joining me today on whatever the name of the show is. And our special topic today was Curb Apple or something having to do with curb apples. Join us again tomorrow for our whatever the name of the show is with me, your host, whatever my name is. Thank you. This has been the world-famous Phil Hendry Show podcast, Netcast Showcast. Executive produced by Phil Hendry for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved. Ah, yes, on Podcast One. Thank you. You're welcome.